I can speak loudly until he figures it out. Hebrews 5:11 through 6:3. Maybe. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not strong meat. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant,
oh, there I am,
is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But strong meat is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward into maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and a faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. Now, those words are not there to belittle Jesus or his sacrifice. If you notice, when people eat dinner, they usually have a glass of milk with their meal, right? Milk sustains us, but meat makes us stronger. It's there to show us that there's more to our relationship with God than skin deep. We can know him deeper. And when we're willing to go deeper, we can experience even more joy as his children. Okay, let's pray. Father, I humbly ask that you look down with favor on your servant and bless these words as he is prepared in the presence of your Holy Spirit to be fruitful and fall on good soil, and that your children who have ears to hear and minds to know and eyes to see prepare their soil so that it is good. In this way and all other ways, may your precious name be glorified, praised, and lifted up. Thank you. Amen. Okay. For those of you who may not know, because I prefer to work behind the scenes and I don't like being the center of attention, I'm Noah and I'm the youth pastor here. This is my first time preaching for you all, and I want to forewarn you that I'm a much better writer than I am a speaker. So forgive any awkwardness that might arise. Anyway, let's move on. We're going to do a mental exercise, okay? So I want everybody in the room, go ahead and close your eyes, okay? We're going to be using our imaginations. I know it feels silly, but bear with me. It'll work out, okay? Picture this as vividly as your mind's eye can and fill in any details that you want. It is a very special day, perhaps your birthday or anniversary, whatever occasion you wish. You've been scrimping and saving for the past few weeks because you're going to treat yourself to something fine. You and your better half are going somewhere. Or perhaps you're flying solo, which is okay if that's what you prefer. You booked a table at the very best restaurant in the very best part of town that serves the very best steak. I'm not talking Texas Roadhouse or Longhorn. I'm talking legitimate world-class meat. The chef even has a name you can't pronounce. But that's fine. You're not going for pleasantries anyway. When you arrive, everything is completely blowing your expectations out the window. After you're seated by a wonderful personality, you're given a menu. You have a panic attack when you see the prices, but quickly shut it down because, after all, you saved and budgeted for this meal. You'll be fine. You make your selection, and the server grins at you like they know something you don't. You won't be disappointed, they say, as they crisply walk away to leave you to your beloved. You share an absolutely splendid conversation, uninterrupted by bathroom breaks or anything else. You hear the waiter approaching from behind, and you close your eyes in anticipation. Oh boy, here it comes. Your heart is fluttering, still a little bit at the cost if you're honest, and you hear a satisfying clink as the plate is set down before you. You thank God and you bless the food. You open your eyes to see a beautiful, glistening, dripping wet glass of milk. Open your eyes. I have two questions for you. How disappointed would you be? I know I was disappointed with myself for writing that story. I felt much sorrow. Anyway, second question. How thankful are you that God promises you meat and that he doesn't go back on his promises? Let's take another look at his word to see what I'm on about. This is a very large steak. So in the essence of time, I've cut it up. I'm going to read specific parts. I strongly recommend you to go home and read the full story. Okay? Hold on. My phone's not liking me right now. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took Abram outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Again, Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So from there, the two chat a little bit more about the details. You'll have to read that yourself if you'd like them. And I'm going to pick up a story about a decade after this has happened, okay? Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she's pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Abram said, Your slave is in your hands. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, and so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, Go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. And that sounds an awful lot like a promise he just made to someone else. The angel of the Lord also said to her, You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. He will live in hostility toward all his brothers. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me, for she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. This is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him a son. Okay. Some more time passes. The Lord changes Abram's name to Abraham, and Sarai's name becomes Sarah. Both now chuckle at the thought and memory of the promise of them having children, even in their old age. And this is despite Abraham once having believed the Lord. If you know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, this happens in a space I'm skipping, among some other important things. So seriously, read it, please. Anyway, Genesis chapter 21, 1 through 21. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. By the way, Isaac means laughter, because they laughed at the thought of having children. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I've borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. This matter distressed Abraham greatly because it was his son. But God said to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. As she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. Okay, by show of hands, who here knows who Ishmael ultimately wound up being? Okay. Ishmael is the father of Islam. Okay. This is some of the tough and chewy part, the gristle of this particular steak, because it's difficult to swallow that our Abraham is also their Abraham. But the wages of sin is death. Abraham didn't stick to God's timing, and he slept with a woman who wasn't his wife. Yes, Sarah told him to, but he could have said no. Look at all the death and horrible atrocities that have come to be, stemming from the terrible choices of one man. And yet, God demonstrates his unimaginable mercy and faithfulness. Abraham had broken a covenant with God. Broken covenants were only paid for in blood. God had every right to choose another hero for his story. God not only forgave the weakness of Abraham, but also kept up his end of the bargain. God promised Abraham he would be the father of many, and our God is faithful. You may have missed another piece of the story here. So, we're going to do the exercise again. I want you all to close your eyes. We got another story for you, okay? Like before, fill in as many details as you want. Imagine you are Hagar, unwanted and despised by the family you've served for the better part of your life. You're sent out into the endless desert with barely enough rations to sustain you, let alone your young child. He whimpers as you walk along with the sun beating down on you and the sand tearing at your faces in the wind. He asks for a drink from the water skin, but you know that it long ago ran dry. You give him the best shade you can see and ask him to wait for you as you go to find some more water. He cries, but he nods. His cries follow and haunt you as you walk away, trying desperately to keep your shoulders steady and hide the hot tears streaming down your cheeks. Every fiber of your being is screaming in anguish as you picture your boy all alone. You collapse to the ground, just out of sight, but his cries can still be heard. You've resigned yourself to death, and all you can hope, plead, and beg for is his death to be quick and painless, that he will cry himself to sleep and pass before he wakes. But that isn't to be the case, because our God is faithful, even when we are not. God opened Hagar's eyes so that she became aware of a well, Imagine her joy. Her child would live. She would no longer hear his cries, knowing she couldn't help. She could ease his suffering. This was mercy unlooked for, because she knew it wasn't deserved. She heard it from the mouth of the angel of the Lord that her son was to be a donkey among men. Why would God show mercy to him? Because he is faithful, even when we fail. God spared him, demonstrating two of his qualities: mercy, faithfulness, beyond what the best of us could ever hope to show. I'll leave you with this. This is Psalm 25, 6 through 7. Maybe if my computer doesn't yell at me again. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Let's pray. Lord, all praise and glory to you, most high God. Milk is good to sustain life, but meat, the protein is required to grow truly strong. Jesus, my prayer is that this morsel we've shared gives not a bellyache, but is sweet on the tongue and satisfying to the soul. Lord, we love and adore you. Amen. Now, go home and finish your steak. We're done. Thank you.